This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Less than a week now till the election, and Governor John Hickenlooper admits he's nervous that a very close vote here could make Colorado the next Florida. But for now, he has something to take his mind off of it. His budget proposal. State revenues are expected to grow by 2.5% next fiscal year, roughly $190 million. And the question is what to do with the increase. The governor sat down with us at the state capitol for our regular conversation. Governor, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be back.
And you're releasing your proposed budget for the next fiscal year later today. What can you tell us about it this morning?
Well, our economy continues to do better. And just like the U.S. economy, when you compare it to the rest of the world, the U.S. economy is really doing better than Europe, better than Asia, better than Australia. Our economy is doing better than the rest of the United States, where job growth is up and revenues are up.
And that means there's more money to spend.
And that is somewhat more money to spend, although we're still going to be a long way from where we were before this recession, if you use inflation-adjusted dollars and adjust for the increase in our population.
Can you give us some hint as to where those additional dollars will go?
Well, obviously, we've got some ground to make up in K-12 education, in higher education. At the same time, we want to make sure that we don't lose sight of the last and the least, people with developmental disabilities. We've been trying to chip away at that waiting list for the last couple years.
This is a waiting list for what kind of services?
Services for people with developmental disabilities. In some cases, care providers will come to the home. In some cases, there are special schools or funding to make sure the kids get, again, a chance at a better life.
And these are all areas in which you're directing some more dollars, amounts to be released later today.
Yeah, we're trying to look at what are those priorities. Again, in any of these things, we're still only scratching the surface. When you have this bigger recession, it takes a while to dig your way out.
Of the additional revenues forecast, will any be put away for a rainy day?
Well, we've said from the beginning that we want to make sure we have a reserve fund that grows a little bit. So we want to add a little bit into the reserve as well, just to make sure that we are each year expanding our insurance for the next recession. Because, you know, what happens is you're so happy to get out of the recession and suddenly you've got all this, you know, additional revenue and you start trying to backfill all the places you had to cut. Well, we're going to do that. But at the same time, I think we want to prepare and invest some money in the reserve fund so that when the next recession does come, and they always do, we won't have to cut so deeply as we did this time.
You're listening to Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and we're back at the Capitol with Governor John Hickenlooper for our regular conversation with him. Let's talk for a moment about the ballot item you've been most involved in. This is Referendum S. It makes a number of changes to the state personnel system, including exempting potentially hundreds more state jobs from civil service rules. And critics say that could make state government much more vulnerable to cronyism. A former head of the Colorado Association of Public Employees and a former Democratic state lawmaker is leading the opposition to S. His name's Miller Hudson, and this is his chief concern.
They can fill all of the top-level positions in state government, division directors, deputy directors, chiefs of staff at boards and commissions with political appointees. And I personally don't think that's a good idea. I think it's good to have a competent 30-year professional who's worked in that area who can provide some pushback to political agendas.
Why have you pushed to increase the number of potential political appointees?
Well, we're not increasing them very much.
The number is about 150, right?
Yeah. I mean, 150 out of how many tens of thousands of workers do we have in the state? I mean, any time...
But these top-level folks, right?
Yeah, but most states have far more than this. Go out and ask your friends and neighbors about how satisfied they are with the performance of state employees or the state government. They think it's sluggish and slow. And part of it is because we do have a culture of longevity, right, in management jobs. What we really want to do, and I've said this, I've been out to almost every agency, I've said this to the employees, gosh, if we want to give you more raises, you've got to be a partner with helping businesses open faster, helping them get through their permitting process faster. Again, holding ourselves to the highest standards, making sure we cross every T and dot every I, but really working to help our community do better. And again and again and again, we hear back, no, there's no sense of urgency. The state workers never hustle. Well, that's part of the culture. To change that culture, it's sometimes it's necessary to infuse that workforce with some new people, new ideas, you know, people from the private sector that, you know, understand they're not in the private sector, they are in government, but a lot of those lessons should still work.
So you're saying that in order to innovate, you sometimes need new blood. How do you protect against cronyism? That's the fear here.
Well, cronyism, even if you had a future governor get elected who wanted to just fill the roles with his political cronies, he's not going to get reelected. He's not going to have a very successful term because they're not going to be good managers. They're not going to be able to manage the state as they should.
That sounds to me like in the end, there aren't extra protections against cronyism and S, that it's really the voters who will decide if it's being used well.
Right. Cronyism is... We don't see cronyism in the modern world, even in cities that are very, like the city of Denver, strong mayor system, right? When was the last time people thought that there was real cronyism there? It's been a long time.
Governor, polls show President Obama and Governor Romney are pretty much locked in a dead heat here. Election administration is, of course, the job of the Secretary of State and county clerks, but do you have any concerns about how well the system will hold up if the race here comes down to a percentage point or less?
Well, I think everyone has concerns. I think Secretary Gessler has concerns. You know, it's hard to get everything to work well, and especially in an election that's going to be this close. It could come down to a couple thousand votes. So, A, both sides are encouraging everyone to vote. Vote, 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 right? Get your friends to vote. Send chain emails to all your friends. This is an important enough election. This should be the highest voter turnout we've seen in 50 years, is what I expect.
When you say that you have some concerns around the system, are there any particular vulnerabilities or places you'll be watching?
Well, certainly the you know, I'm not up on the technology that we're using now. I know that a lot of the counties are using touchscreens, and that there are some questions about, will they hold up? My trust is that the clerks in all these counties have really gone above and beyond to test and make sure that we're ready for this election. But I'm still a little anxious.
As are some activists who think that those touchscreen voting machines haven't been amply tested.
Well, and again, the county clerks and the Secretary of State, they all feel that they have been tested. So the proof is in the pudding, and it better work. I mean, this is the kind of thing, you know, we want to be able to get our results as quickly as possible so that we look professional. We look like we put on a good election.
How are you feeling in general about the election? You obviously come at this from a Democratic point of view.
Well, I feel, you know, anxious but confident from that point of view. But I do think it's amazing to see the avalanche of advertisements and TV. I haven't talked to a single person who's not sick of all the TV and mailers and phone calls, all that stuff. But I do tell people that two things. One is that that's all money that's into our economy. It's creating jobs. It's voluntarily donated. And then more interesting, we're going to spend roughly $2 billion as a country, right? $1 billion probably from each party in terms of the PACs and everybody doing all the spending. The fun fact I thought was interesting is that for Easter every year, this country spends about $5 billion on candy. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I thought that was interesting as a frame of reference. $2 billion seems a lot of money to spend on a campaign, and yet we'll spend $5 billion on candy for Easter. So just as a sense of perspective.
Is it true that the advertising money is creating jobs? Doesn't that money just get sent to the headquarters of whatever television station group?
Oh, no. That's making tons of jobs. Certainly there's a certain level of profit, although many radio stations, TV stations have been hard-pressed for a profit in a while. But there's editors and people that have to make those ads, and I mean, it's a whole industry. It's amazing the number of people involved in marketing political campaigns.
Governor, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
John Hickenlooper is Colorado's governor and joins us regularly at the state capitol. He'll release the specifics of his budget plan just after noon today, and we'll go into more detail with him later on All Things Considered and during the 7 o'clock broadcast of Colorado Matters. A quick clarification, we looked up how much people spend on Easter candy, and America's annual chocolate bunny budget is actually closer to $2 billion. It's $5 billion if you count Easter ham and all the other food, which is still food for thought when compared to spending on political ads.